Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Here, you'll find practical, relevant, biblical information. The Bible will be broken down verse by verse so that you get the full context of the scripture to better grow in your relationship with Jesus. With that said, let us pray. You know, Lord, we thank you for bringing us together and working within us all to grow as your children. We ask that you ensure that we keep our hearts and our minds open to everything that you have to teach us here today and everything that you have to teach us beyond these doors when we leave, and help us to apply your word to our daily lives. Amen. All right. Well, again, good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. And welcome to everybody following us online and streaming. Oh, and apparently the praise and worship dog is either shouting hallelujah or went over to security. I'm not sure which. today is, of course, the 1st of December. December is here. You know, even knowing December was coming and preparing for it, it's still like this morning. It's like, whoa, hold on a sec. It's December. So we are definitely on the road to Christmas. And I don't know about you all, I actually was listening to Christmas music on the way into church today. I don't know, kind of. Matter of fact, I even programmed it in my folks' SUV, so they've got it there in their Lincoln now. Yeah, stepdad's over here shaking his head no, but we know that means yes. He puts on a big show, but he's not a humbug, that's for sure. And with that said, you know, of course, there's a lot of traditions that people kick off this time of year. You know, matter of fact, there might even be some in this room that have already started. But, you know, this is typically the time, you know, that people start throwing up their decorations, putting lights on, lighting candles, you know, all these different traditions that are going on, you know. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, thinking of even just lights, I'm sure that we all know somebody that kind of goes overboard, right? They're like Clark Griswold, and they ensure that their house can be identified from the International Space Station. Got the little dials going, just going, well, it's digital now, so those numbers just flick, 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 flick. You know? it's all automated, you know, ugly sweaters. Or sweaters in general. I mean, I'm a sweater guy. I like sweaters. Not necessarily the ugly sweaters, but sometimes. Matter of fact, this is the time of year I go to work, and it's pretty common to see me with an assortment of Christmas hats, most of which have lights. You know, my glorious beard here, I've been known to put ornaments in it. They actually make ornaments for beards. They do. If you have a beard, I highly encourage them. I encourage you to check them out. They're pretty cool. You know? But, you know, and I say all this, though, speaking of traditions, though, because if you're not familiar with it, this is something I put out every year, at least on my social media and all I'm talking. But since I'm up here, when it comes to traditions, here's one that you might consider. Today being the first day of December, if you actually open up your Bible to the book of Luke and you read a chapter every day from today through Christmas Eve, because there's 24 chapters, and they're not horribly long at all. They just take a few minutes to get through. But if you were to start reading today, then come Christmas Eve, you would have read an entire accounting of the life of Christ. Being that this is a season, that's something pretty cool, right? If you have family, you know, do it with your family. If you have kids, hey, let me throw out a good parenting tip right there. Do it with your kids. You know, we might even do it with our fur baby over here. She tends to be around our feet anyway. Good parenting for the fur babies, right? But, you know, it's a good time, though. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start diving into our word. Matter of fact, we're going to start in Luke. So if you would, go ahead and open your Bibles, your Bible app, whatever it is that you use. And let's turn to Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. So Luke 3, 21 through 22. And yes, I'm going to read it here in a second. Yes, it's baptism. Trust me, we're going somewhere with this. All right? So the word says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." There's two verses here. There's a whole lot to unravel. And really, like I said, you know, this, we're already looking at the baptism, so we're going to start right there. Because it's like, whoa, what's going on? It's kind of cold out to be doing a baptism, isn't it? And yes, it is. We're not going to the river. Don't worry. Matter of fact, I don't think we even have water in our baptismal right now. That'd be pretty chilly, too. It's more like an ice bath. You know, this right here, this is a part, this has actually troubled many theologians for a long, long time. You know, many look at the baptism as simply something for sinners. We're all sinners, right? It's an outward proclamation that we're dying to our sin. We're being buried and then raised again as a new creature in Christ, right? And yes, that is correct. They're not wrong with this. So if this is the case, why would Jesus need to be baptized? And not only that, why would he have John do it? Remember, John was sent first, right? He was sent first. That was John's mission. That was his mission right here on earth. It's because Jesus is making a proclamation to the world. So we need to remember that even though Jesus is fully God, Jesus is also fully human. Not only that, but he was very average, right? There was nothing out there that's going to put him up here like the idols and the mythology of like Hercules or anything like that. He was meant to blend in, to be part of the crowd. This is somebody you could pass on the street and you wouldn't give second notice to. It's not, you know, not as pretty as Brian over here. Just kidding. Don't let you get out of hand there, buddy. Love you, man. He was very humble. He was a very plain man. As a matter of fact, even his birth was very humble, right? To ordinary, humble parents, his birth wasn't really announced. It wasn't like it was a big thing, like, hey, she's going into labor, right? None of these things like we see on video now where they're popping smoke and all sorts of stuff to show what sex he was or anything like that. Nothing crazy. Matter of fact, his birth was really just announced to shepherds and foreigners. Right? The Magi? Think about that. It's not like it's even a big thing, you know, for friends or family or nothing like that. It's like, hey, we're going to be over here and we're going to let all these other people know. So it was a very humble beginning. You know, he went through life and he ultimately faced death. Only as a human could. Not as God. Not as a God can. But as human. Because God doesn't die, right? Humans do. So when he went to the Jordan River with John, and he was baptized, there were actually a few things at play here. One, Jesus was identifying with us as a people. Even though he himself was sinless, he himself was one who lived a perfect life, he was identifying as being human, as being a man, with all the temptation and everything therein. Is one of us, is one of the people. You know, and with that, there's foreshadowing that people couldn't see at the moment. Because here he is, and as we already talked about, baptism, right? Dying to the old, and then rising again. So a little bit of foreshadowing of what was to come. People didn't even know it. Matter of fact, even today, people will read through this, and they won't even recognize that. There's a demonstration of what was to come. You know, that day when he would go to the cross and he would take on the sin of the world. Because at that point, He was judged guilty of the sin, right? Because he's put to death. He took our sin. He was showing it what was to come. Second, Jesus was setting an example. Jesus was really good about this, wasn't he? He liked to set a lot of examples. It wasn't just about parables. It wasn't just do as I say. There was a whole lot of do as I do, kind of like with the washing of the feet, right? There are a few other things. I shouldn't say a few. There are a lot of examples that he did. But he was demonstrating the importance of making a public and outward proclamation to the Father, specifically showing how important it is to do so in this fashion. Right? This is why a lot of people get very hung up on baptism. Like, oh, you have to do it or you're going to go to hell. No, it's not that, because who saves? Jesus saves. Does the baptism save? No. Not at all. But it is an outward proclamation. And guess what? That outward proclamation, it puts a target on you. Because now you're set apart. You're one of God's children. Right? The enemy has his sights on you now. Not only that, but non-believers. Because to non-believers, this is very silly thing. It's like, really? You're going to go out, you're going to take a bath, and that's going to save you? What? Because they don't understand. They have no idea what the concept really is or how important it really is, which is why it's so important to us. It's a demonstration, you know, to the world that, you know, like I said, you know, I said earlier, I'm a believer. I've died to my own self. I've been separated from my old sin. I've been reborn new. Those chains have been broken. Get a little cotton mouth there. But those chains have been broken. I'm no longer in bondage to the sin. You know, I belong to the Father. And this is why it's so important. This is why we don't baptize babies. Babies don't have the ability to make an informed decision. You could talk to them all you want. And what are you going to get in response? Coo-coo. Little cooing and gagas and all that kind of stuff, right? They don't understand. They don't know. So why we give some time. Even the Bible says, train them up. Train our kids up in the Lord, right? Because there comes a time when all of us will have to choose. So we have to, you know, that's the importance of making sure when somebody just says, hey, I want to be baptized, are they mature enough to make that decision? Do they have all the information that they need to make a proper and informed decision? Because it's not something that we can just take lightly. I said, it puts a target on you. You don't just carry this thing out on a whim. And the third thing that was happening here, I said, Jesus is making a proclamation to the world, right? He was making his first public proclamation of his ministry. That's what this was. It's going to be different from what the people expected. It's going to be a lot different from what he could have done. Matter of fact, if we go back to Luke chapter 2, verses 49 through 50. So Luke 2, verses 49 through 50. And the word says, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they didn't understand the statement which he spoke to them. Keep in mind, right here in chapter 2, Jesus is about 12 years old at the time? 12 years old. He was visiting the temple. And even at this time, he already knew what his mission was. He knew what was going to be happening moving forward. He knew what work was set out for him. And nobody else understood. Even the teachers that were there in the temple, the people who know scripture better than anybody else, right? Or at least were supposed to, and they don't recognize anything that's going on in front of them. They don't recognize the gift that's standing in front of them, talking to them, asking them questions. Which is pretty incredible, because they were amazed by how knowledgeable he was. Absolutely amazed. Like, here's this kid, and And he knows the scripture better than we do. He's asking questions that are making us think. And they're not connecting the dots that, hey, there's something special about this kid. They're not recognizing who he was or what he was soon going to do, which is fine. Because it wasn't their time yet, right? The disciples who were there with them, they didn't even recognize. Remember what I was talking about last week? We get out there, we get involved in things, and we get hyper-focused, right? We put on those blinders like a horse, right? Trotting through. We don't see nothing but what's right in front of us. And even then, we might not recognize it for what it is. You know, this is one of those things. Like I said, baptism, it can't be taken lightly. And so when it is done, and it's done properly, and someone makes that decision, and they follow through with it, it's an exciting time. For a non-believer, they don't understand. Like I said, they're like, what's the big deal? You're taking this guy, you're dipping him in the river, or you're dunking him in a bathtub. But for the rest of us, it's a very cheerful moment. It's like, hey, yes, this guy just gave his life over. He made that proclamation. Like, we know he's part of the family, right? And there's hugs, and there's handshakes, and congratulatory comments, and all that kind of stuff. It's a big deal. Matter of fact, it's so big, if we go forward to Luke 15, verse 10. Luke chapter Luke 15, verse 10. The word says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just one. That's what Jesus is telling us. In other words, when someone gives their life over, there's a party. It's such a big thing. We're even with us, we're cheering them on, we're applauding, right? Maybe they get a certificate or a shirt or something if they're in one of these bigger fancy places or whatever. It's big to us, it's even bigger up there. Because the angels are even rejoicing. The angels. You think about that. For just one individual. Yeah, God's going to be sad. The angels are going to be sad over the lost. That's why it's such a big deal when someone turns. Now I can assure you that God the Father is so happy when you make that choice. I mean, he's standing up there. He's a proud papa, right? We're adopted. We're back in the family. That divide is gone. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. Our sins are gone. He's not seeing that. What's he seeing? That's my kid. Yeah. God approves our proclamations. He does. When Jesus was baptized, what's the first thing it says he does? He prays. In other words, he goes out and he makes his outward proclamation. Hey, I'm here for the one true God, and my ministry starts now. He's putting it out there for everybody. And then what's he doing? He's going and he's talking to the Father. He's having a conversation, right? And for you and me, it's like a spot check when we do something, and we turn. You know, when you're a kid and you go to your parents, or when you're at work and you finish working on something, and you're basically going and saying, "Hey, you know what? Look, I just got done with this, or at least I think I did. Would you take a look at it? Let me know if I need to do anything else, or something maybe I could tweak a little bit, right?" And then that person, that authority figure, that parent. They're coming over and they're taking a look at it and they're like, dude, that's awesome. That's even better than I thought it was going to be. It's great. That's what it is right there. You know, you've done what I asked. You need me to do anything else? The answer's right here. It's God's approval. God approves. And when we see, what do we see here? the Holy Spirit descending like a dove in a physical body. Ever wondered why the dove is such an important figure in Christianity? Right there. Embodied the Holy Spirit coming down. And then what happens right after that? The voice of God is heard. My son, who I love, and I'm proud of. I'm proud. Now, this is something I want everybody to take notice of here too. In fact, this is a good section to highlight, underline, make a note in the margins, whatever. Because there's a lot of people out there that like to make this claim, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it ever talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, all together in one place. Really? We see it right here. The Father, his voice, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Right here. And it's not just here, it's in many places. But this right here, this is a great place to take note of. Matter of fact, even just the picture, picture it in your mind. You're out there, you're witnessing this, you're out there on the riverbank. This is one of those times we'd be like, dude, this is majestic. You know, some people might even use the term magical, right? Say kind of facetious, there's no such thing as magic, but it is pretty majestic. It's pretty incredible. Imagine you're out there, and all of a sudden, here's this light, and here comes this dove. And then you hear this voice from above. This is my son. Right, that sounded a lot better in my head. I don't have a voice like James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman, sorry. That would be cool though, right? But let this image just kind of sink into the back of your mind and just be honest. Honest with yourself, how incredible would this have been to have seen? See this dove from heaven knowing, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. So there's no question at this point. And the voice of God saying, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Right? Those are big words. And it's what the Father is saying here. I love you. I'm proud of you. And I can tell you that's exactly what he's saying when you turn away from the world. You turn back towards him. Even though you might be kind of blinded by the light at first, you can't quite see, but you know, that's the way I need to go. And you make that public proclamation. Hey, I'm on Team Jesus. Team Jesus, yeah. You're not getting traded. Right? You don't have to worry about getting written off or kicked off the team or anything. It's like, no, come on in, the more the merrier. Welcome to the family. And that's exactly what God is saying about you. You're dead to your old self. You're reborn, new. And you're reborn in the love, the grace, and the mercy of Christ. It's when you made it known, not only to the world, but to the prince of it, that you're no longer in bondage to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Basically saying it's enough is enough and it's time for a change. Right? That change is Jesus who went and died on the cross for me and for you. And he didn't just die. He rose again. Right? He was seen. He talked to people. People could see him. They could talk to him. They could touch him. We know he came back. The evidence is there. And it's not just an empty tomb. Not only that, it's time for a change. And I want to be reunited with the Father. I want to be back with my family. I want to be back where it matters most, with who matters most. And I'm going to reflect his light into the world. I'm going to open up that hole that I had that's been filled with the Holy Spirit so people can see the Holy Spirit in my life and what he's done for me, and they can hear my testimony and not just words on a paper that they don't understand. I'm going to be the salt so people can taste and see how good God really is. And because of that, God was pleased with Jesus then. And he's pleased with you now. Now, it's the holiday season. This is that time here. People get a little more cheerful, a little bit more upbeat, right? They try to give a little bit more, be a little bit more understanding, right? They try to be better versions of themselves than what they've been all the rest of the year. It's kind of sad when you think about it, like, but that's really what it is, right? So this is a time we celebrate the coming of the Lord. This is good stuff. I'm going to try to be that person that I aspire to. I'm going to try to be that person that my kids think I am. I'm going to try to be that person that my dog thinks I am. And it's also a time of hurt. There's a lot of hurt out there for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. But I'll remind you that Jesus came and he walked that dusty, dirty path and took on all that pain and that hurt and that humility for you. For all of you, for me, for all of us. And by walking that path, he understands you. He understands your humanness. He understands your pain, your hurt, your depression, your temptation, how easy it is to get involved with addictions, right? How important it is, or how important it seems to be, that we're in the limelight. All that stuff. He understands our reluctances. He understands our brokenness. However, just as God was pleased when Jesus made this proclamation, he's pleased with you. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. So Isaiah 42, verse 1. The word says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." And just as the Holy Spirit came to Jesus, he's been sent to us as well. Matter of fact, if you go to John 14, verses 15 through 31, I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. I do encourage everyone to go to it, but here this whole thing, this whole section, Jesus is talking about how the Holy Spirit is being sent to all who believe. Right? You're a believer, the Holy Spirit's been sent to you. Just like the Holy Spirit was sent to Jesus there on the river. You know, it's a gift from above to all of the Lord's people. And it is a gift. You know, it's a reminder that when we're attacked by the enemy, when we're beaten down by life, when we're exhausted physically, mentally, spiritually, God's not going to ignore you. He's not going to discard you. He's not going to just walk on past. Go, get up. Catch up. No. When you start getting weary, he's going to be there every step of the way. When you start struggling to hold yourself up, he's there for you to lean on. And when you can't lean anymore, and you can't carry yourself anymore, he will pick you up. And he will carry you. He will carry you because he loves you and he's proud of you and he wants nothing but the best for you. There's so many out there, they're hurting and they're looking for approval. Approval. You know, pains that are carried over from childhood to adulthood maybe. You know, or that nagging in the back of their mind that says, if I just do this and I just do that, maybe I'll be good enough. Maybe they'll love me, right? Maybe they'll be proud. You know, maybe that parent that's been absent will come back. That's a big one right there. But it's that nagging that's in the back here, just saying, hey, try a little harder. Do a little bit more. Do all this. And it becomes an idol. That becomes the focus. The legalistic thing saying, if you do this, 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 and this, then this is going to be the result. That false promise. Right? That's that empty sermon about prosperity. Do this, 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 and this, and you're going to get this, and then you get this, and then you get that. I'm here to tell you, stop looking. Stop looking for that approval from the world. None of us will ever please everybody. And because you're hurt, and you're filling yourself with these actions and these deeds, thinking, hey, this is going to be the cure-all. This is going to be what fixes them. It doesn't fix them. And it doesn't fix your brokenness. Instead, you need to look to the cross. Look to the cross. Look to Jesus. And realize that he came and he died and he defeated death and rose again for each of us. That when we turn to him and we trust in him and we talk to him and develop a relationship with him and we make that outward proclamation that I'm a believer, that brokenness starts to get fixed. God's not just pleased, but the Holy Spirit sent. And he'll let you, and God, here's the thing, he'll let you know, not just that he loves you, not just that he's pleased, but he'll start working on that broken heart and starts healing it from the inside out. The place that's hurt the most. See, think about it. Somebody has a rod punched through their chest, through part of their heart, they're still alive, right? What's the first thing they do when they remove that rod? Do they start stitching up the outside and working from the outside in? No. The first focus is on the heart. What do we need to do to save this person? And that's what God's doing. Heart surgery. Heart surgery. And that's why we don't always recognize when somebody's come to Christ, we don't recognize them necessarily as a Christian right away. Because they're still healing. They're still being worked on from the inside out. The changes that come with being a believer are slow. But they take time, but they come. They do come. You know, it's not just this season, but in our lives, we need to remember that all we do also needs to be in his will, not ours. Our mission, our purpose, this is that thing that a lot of people lack. This is one of those things when you look at the sad statistics of suicide and why people are suicidal, like, well, I don't know why I belong here. I don't have a purpose. It'd be better if I wasn't here. But God's given us a purpose. He's given us a purpose to go out into the world and to point the way to Jesus. You think of Think of some like the old medieval movies that you might have seen or the shows, right? Lord of the Rings, that sort of thing. And they're in the caverns, right? Maybe like even like ancient Egypt, that kind of stuff, inside the old pyramids. And what do they do for light? You have this light coming down from outside. And what happens? Here's a mirror. Let's angle it this way. Oh, and here's another mirror. Let's angle it this way. And then here's another. Boom, boom, boom. And what happens? Now all this light is being reflected all over the place, and the room has gone from darkness to light. It's illuminated. You can see everything. We're those mirrors reflecting the light of God. It's the same thing. If we turn to Philippians chapter 2, of course, sometimes we like to joke, the book of Filipinos. But the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13, the word says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." You see, it's not about us. It never was about us. It's about him and his glory and his kingdom and his will. So we need to stop being so focused on ourselves, so focused on just me, 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 I, right? We sound like an angry Daffy Duck jumping up and down. It's mine, that little kid, right? Instead, we need to be focused. Hey, what am I doing? How am I going about it? What can I change? Am I showing Jesus in what I am doing? Am I showing Jesus and how I'm at work? Am I showing Jesus when I'm at the grocery store? Am I showing Jesus when I'm pumping gas? There's a fun one. Think about that. How can you show Jesus when you're pumping gas? What's that? There you go. That's a good one. Not flipping out on the gas prices. Absolutely. Sitting there getting impatient with the guy in front of you, start laying on that horn or inching up that bumper like that's going to make him get in his car any faster, right? Maybe you have the down and out that comes up, asking for a handout. Maybe you don't have anything to give him, but have you ever thought, hey, I don't have anything to give you, but can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? There's one I bet hasn't come to many people's minds right there. Because I have to admit, I've thought of this, and even I've been at that gas pump, and it's come time, and it hasn't happened. I've fallen short. I missed an opportunity. As do we all. So we need to stop, you know, being so focused on me with this nonsense. Woe is me. Oh, I'm not good enough. Why don't they love me? Right? This act of being self-loathsome, hating ourselves, right? God loves you. Love yourself. For everything that you're guilty of, for everything that you deserve, everything that I deserve, God still loves us. And if he can do it, then we can love ourselves and each other as well. We need to lean into Christ. We need to trust Christ. We need to put him up in the driver's seat behind the wheel and go sit in the back seat where we belong. Let him take that wheel of our lives, right? We've all heard that tune, "Let Jesus Take the Wheel." If we go to Proverbs chapter 3, so if we turn there real quick, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The word says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." No, it doesn't say you lean on God, you lean on Christ, and he's going to tell you how to take the path and let you do it on your own. Or, you know, it doesn't say he's going to, you lean on, you have a conversation with him, tell him, "Hey, I want to go this way," and he's going to let you steer the ship. It doesn't say that. We get so caught up in ourselves, we forget God is our provider. He's the one who's steering the ship. He's the one who's steering the car. He's the one who's directing which path we're going down in our life, or is at least trying to. He's saying, hey, come over here this way. I know it's not the prettiest, it's not the biggest, it's not the most glamorous, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that you're going to see, but trust me, when you get to the end, right, the narrow path, when you get to the end, it's going to be amazing. Like, everybody in here seen Doctor Who, right? You step inside this ugly little police phone box, and then what happens? It opens up. Oh, and it's amazing. How'd you fit all this in here? Dude! And it's huge. It's the same thing. Instead, we're over here with our sight on Queen Mary and not even realizing it's permanently docked, broken down, constantly having holes and stuff patched and fixed, filled with rats, vermin, and all this other stuff. And allegedly haunted, right? That's called demons. With that said, I'm gonna share a quick anecdote with you here. Trust, we're heading for home, I promise. Y'all might have heard this before. So there's a storm, it descends on this small town. Waters are starting to come up, and the town starts flooding. Here comes the people, they're paddling their boat. And they see this dude, and he's kneeling down on the front of a church, and he's praying. Like, dude, come hop in, we got to get out of here. And he's over here on the steps. No, go ahead, the Lord will provide for me. And he just keeps praying. I'm like, okay, dude. And they paddle away. Those waters start rising even higher and higher. Next thing you know, he's up on the balcony. And he's still out there praying. And here comes another group of people. This time they're in a motorboat. Got a little bit more room. They got space for him. Man, come on, hop on. We got room for you. We got to get out of here. No. It's okay. The Lord's going to provide for me. And he just keeps on praying. Those floodwaters keep rising. Next thing you know, he's up on the roof. He's climbing up onto that cross for dear life, trying to stay out of the water. And here comes a helicopter, and they drop down a rope ladder to him. Dude, hop on. This is your last chance. You're not going to last much longer. No, go on without me. The Lord will provide. And he keeps praying. And predictably what happens? He drowns. He goes to heaven. God comes, greets him. Hey, welcome. And he sits there and goes, dude, God, really? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I did the stuff I was supposed to. Why didn't you help out? He goes, what are you talking about? I sent two boats and a helicopter. What do you want? What do you want? The point is, we need to stop telling God how we want things, how he needs to deliver things to us. And we need to start actually trusting in him and seeing the things that he sends to us. Start doing the things that he's told us to do without the expectation of anything in return. We don't deserve anything in return. The fact that Christ came and died for us to reunite us and assure us a place in heaven, guess what? We don't deserve that, but we got that. That should be good enough. It should. But to too many people, it's not. You know, where the Bible tells us you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's not saying you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. Why? Because God's not trying to exert his authority. He's not trying to force us to do things, trying to force our hand. He's like, okay, you love me? Feed my sheep. You love me? Love your neighbor. And so when we do these things, it's not because we have to. But now it's become because we want to. We have that joyful heart. We look forward to doing these things. It's like when you give a gift. You know, you can receive a gift. Okay, cool, this is great. Oh, I've been wanting this. But then you're able to give a gift to somebody, something that they've been wanting for a while. Maybe something that they couldn't afford for themselves, right? and you see their face light up. Occasionally, you'll come across that person who's down on their luck, living on the streets, and they come up and you're able to just give them something small, right? Maybe it's a bag of chips that you have in your back seat or a bottle of water or something, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. And they come alive and they're so thankful. We don't see it often, but when it does happen, that's the Lord working through you. So when we come to the Lord and we start to actually trust on Him, we lean on Him, we develop this relationship and we start doing things because we want to, and this becomes a part of our daily living. It's something that we're doing every day. The Lord is pleased. He loves you. And when He sees this, He's not just going to take care of you and your needs. As the Word tells us, our reward's being stored up in heaven for the day that we finish that race and we get to go home. It's not here. It's there. So we need to stop focusing on the world and following what the world's telling us to do and what the world says important. And our pride. Our pride is a big one, isn't it? I deserve this. I'm entitled to that. No, you're not. He'll take care of your needs. Stop depending on man to do it for you. Just don't turn a blind eye when a man is the one who's sent to do it for you. You know, to have this pain inside, you have this doubt, it makes you question your self-worth. Why am I not worthy? And to the world, and to the prince of this world, you very well may be worthless. But to Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, you're priceless. You're priceless. And that's a far more worthy goal. So stop doubting yourself. This is why God sent the prophets, the prophets. This is why God sent the scripture that we have in the Bible, right? His word. This is why He sent His Son for us. Two boats and a helicopter, right? He's done all this because He loves you. He is proud of you, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the enemy whispers in the back of your ear. And He does all this because of that. He loves you. He's proud of you. He is our Heavenly Father. He's the one who's able to heal those wounds and give that approval that you've been seeking to fill that void for so long. So church, now I'm going to ask you all to pray with me. And you all know the words, and not just because they're up here on the slide. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Keeping our heads bowed, Father, we thank you for the reminder of your love for each and every single one of us. That we are able to remember that you look upon each and every single one of us as the proud parent that you are. That even though we may not hear how proud and loved we are by our earthly parents, loved ones, or the ones that we look up to, and Let's be real. We may not ever be able to hear it because they're no longer with us. But because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can find fullness in you. We can find the warmth that comes from knowing that your love is so much greater than anything that anyone on this planet can provide. This is a season in need. And we ask that just as you fill us, that we're able to see where we need to shine your light and direct it so that others can see it and come to know you, to come and know your warmth, the warmth of your embrace, the warmth of your love. We ask that you show us how to lift up our fellow man, even when they cannot or will not do it for themselves. And in this season, we ask that we never take for granted and we never forget the sacrifice that you've made for us. And that through our testimony, others can come to see you and know what you've done for each of us. In your love, in your mercy, and in your grace. And all of his people said. And when you leave here today, remember that you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church.
Thank you all for joining us here today at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Please like, subscribe, and share our podcast on any platform it is that you tune into us on. If you do have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to know more about our ministry, you can find us on our website at BeTheLightSanctuary.org or on Facebook at BeTheLightSanctuary. You can also find how to contact us there, whether it's direct message or email. We look forward to hearing from you all. God bless.